Now, around about this time, we invite into the studio a friend of the show to offer some recommendations of interesting things to do in this city. This week, it is Phil Dave, who's going to get us thinking about some of the tourist attractions in our city that we often overlook or put off for a rainy day, but never bother to visit. And it's very rare, actually, we are proper tourists in our own city, which I think we should be more. Phil, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Thank you.
Thank
Morning.
You for coming in. Shall we start with St Paul's, please?
Indeed. Yes. Now, St Paul's.
You've never been to St Paul's before we sent you there to find out more, had you?
I haven't, no. And it's one of those places where, like so many tourist attractions in this great city of ours, that one could be tempted to say to themselves, oh, I'm definitely going to go there one day, but never actually get round to doing it. And my goodness me, I'm so pleased I did.
Did you, Phil? Because I've never been.
Oh, honestly, if you get the chance, go to St Paul's, because as soon as you walk in through the magnificent and grand front entrance of it, you get this real overwhelming sense that there's something phenomenal about this building. And just from the high ceilings to the way that it's decorated, the woodwork, the paintings, the actual paintings on the wall is done with the most mind-blowing detail. It's depicting all things biblical, and it's almost enough to encourage one to be interested in religion.
Yes, I mean, I'm sorry, do you pay to go in? Or
You do pay to go is in, there, yes.
Is
the,
it,
the tickets vary from 7 to 16
But doesn't that include, does that include going up to the Whispering Gallery?
Oh, yes.
To pay more? Yes. So
access
that's actually,
all areas. It's
to
access
be
all
fair,
areas.
That's not a bad price.
It's not at all. And, you know, I thought as well, Joe, that as soon as you said that, I completely agree. When you hear that price and you think, but it's just a religious building. Why would I want to pay to go in there? But once you get there, it's well worth it.
And apparently the tickets last for a whole year.
Indeed.
So you can go back
Do they?
So it's sort of good value for money. But you do get different areas, you see, because as well as obviously being the main church part itself, there's obviously also the bit downstairs where all of the various graves are of various war heroes. And it's really, it's quite humbling because you've got Nelson who's buried down there. And you look at people like that and you just think these amazing names from history, and you're allowed to go and visit their eternal resting place. And there is something really humbling about that, and really quite, it's quite a privilege.
Also,
I think,
interesting
anyway,
with St Paul's, if you think about how London is now, St Paul's used to be the largest, most impactful building on the landscape.
Yes.
And now look at it, it's dwarfed by almost everything else, but still manages to have a huge amount of presence, which a lot of buildings, even the bigger ones, do not.
I was going to say, I don't think it's that dwarfed, really, because it's just got such magnitude about it. When you approach it, you can just tell that there is something amazing about this
building.
Did
you make it to the top of the dome?
Okay, so here's what happened. Right, I went up to the Whisper Gallery, which was a bit of a challenge in itself. There's something insane like 300 steps to the Whisper Gallery, so you've got to be prepared to do a little bit of walking, even though they do have a lift to the Whisper Gallery, but they don't have a lift beyond that. So I went up the steps because I thought, oh, go on, let's go for the full-on experience of St Paul's Cathedral. And by the time I had rather shatteringly got up at the top of the stairs, I noticed that, well, I was listening to the walls, and you know how everyone says that you're supposed to be able to hear what's being said the other side? Well, I was a bit distracted by what people were saying next to me. I couldn't really hear it from the other side. But I did go as far as the Whisper Gallery and then continued on to the Stone Gallery, which is the next one up. And that just offers the most phenomenal views of London. There is literally not one landmark that you can't walk around and you can't see. So I highly recommend that. But as far as the Golden Gallery is concerned, so the top one, well, I sort of bottled out at that stage because there was a further something like 150 steps up to the Golden Gallery. And the problem with that is that it was an exposed staircase. So as you start climbing these stairs, all you can see is this vast open space around. There was a handle, but it's just such a vast open space around it that you're looking and you just think, wow, this is quite a long way to go. And it doesn't feel, I didn't think it felt very safe.
Yes,
also, I'm afraid that the fact that I suffer with vertigo doesn't help either.
Yes.
Carl, so you should have come up with us to the top of the Shard when we did the Shard about 2-3 weeks ago.
You and Eileen.
Me, Eileen, who's one of our wonderful listeners at very early 90s.
But I think
son.
The Shard would be a bit different, though, because there are obviously lifts that you can go into that to get to the top of the building.
Yeah, but it's 800 and something feet up. It's yes, the tallest building in Western Europe. If you don't like heights, which I didn't.
Well, it's not that I don't like heights. That's the infuriating thing. It's just heights don't like me. And so I was more than prepared to go up to it because I thought the Golden Gallery would be, well, just stunning. But unfortunately, I never got that far. See, I had to turn around and I had to encourage people to go back down the stairs just so I could get
out. That answer reeks of therapy. I don't mind heights, but heights don't like me. That's rubbish.
That's rubbish. True. That's what Vertigo is.
St. Paul's, £7 to £16. Tickets last a year. And if you go as a result of hearing this, I'd love to know what you make of it. I probably haven't set foot in St. Paul's for about 10 years or so. I don't think I've been up the Whispering Gallery probably for 35 years, so maybe I should make a return visit. Can we talk about the V&A?
Indeed, yes, the Victoria and Albert Museum. Now, I'm going to be perfectly honest, when I first thought of the V&A Museum, I thought, my goodness me, now there's a school trip that I just recall being so dull and so annoying that I just didn't ever want to go back there. But I'm so pleased I did, because my opinion of the V&A has completely changed. Just, you're greeted by such amazing artifacts that are so unbelievably old, and the stories that they could all tell if they really wanted to. I just think, for example, you go in through where the underground station is. You go through a long tunnel. I don't know whether or not you've ever been to the tube station,
South Kent, the
long tunnel there that links all of the museums together. And as you're walking along it, you just see all of these different signs pointing to different museums. You go in through the V&A one, and you're greeted by a whole load of statues. Now, to me, a statue is a statue. I'm not the biggest admirer of art in that sense. But as you continue to go around the V&A, the biggest thing about it is just how old every single item is there and how it has survived the test of time. So, for example, there are parts of old buildings that have survived since the 1600s and some of them dating back even to the 1500s. And you just think the stories that they could tell if they could talk, what they have seen and what they have been through to get to that point. And the best bit about the V&A is that it's all free to access. Yes, they do exhibitions that you pay for, but the actual main part of it is completely free. And I just think that with this closeness to history and our heritage in this country, it's just so worth it. There's costumes there dating back from all sorts of different centuries. There are different rooms divided by different countries. So, for example, there's one dedicated to Japanese history and one to Chinese history. And as you're going around all of these different rooms, you almost get this sense of seeing what life was like in a different country, in your own country. It's just one massive lesson, and it's such a fascinating
concept. It is. I mean, what you were saying about school visits to museums, you're absolutely right, because I mean, I'm older than you, Phil, and I remember they were really sort of dark experiences, and now these museums, they're like, you know, all they've done to the museums is add light to them as well. I think they just seem far more vibrant than ever. And of course,
there's lots of skylights now.
Yes, which is brilliant, you know, in museums. And I've been there on a Friday when they have quartets playing, and I think most Friday nights they have live music there as well, which is wonderful. And it is my favourite museum in the world, I think, the V&A. I love it. And have they still got the David Bowie exhibition on?
Yes, they've currently got the David Bowie exhibition.
So they get great things like Vivian Westwood, David Bowie, all that. You know, I love what they commission and what they put in there as well. So the V&A, and I can't remember, do you pay to go in there?
No, the V&A is free.
So that's free. Right,
but I just want to say that one particular part of the V&A that I particularly loved is that there is a floor dedicated to British history and all sorts of different pieces of furniture from, say, the Georgian times, Victorian times, all of these different eras that have gone by that, quite frankly, put a certain flat pack facility to shame.
God, yes.
And you just think that no one crafts furniture like this anymore, and how grand it must have been when it was sitting in its home and it was used on a daily basis by goodness only knows who. And one particular item that I absolutely loved was a handcrafted and hand decorated harpsichord. Who sees a harpsichord anymore? Who gets the chance to actually see one? So that was dreadfully
exciting.
So
this is at the V&A. Now, one of the questions I know Joe's going to ask you may well occur in the next 3 or 4 minutes when you talk about the British Library.
Am I so predictable? What is the question?
No, I didn't see your book there.
Not the book. It's not the book.
No, sorry.
What is it?
You start talking and I'm going to look Joe in the eye and see if I can miraculously transmit it through to her.
Okay.
Well, the German gym. No.
I meant silently. Yeah, Phil, the British Library.
Well, the British Library, I was under a really, really wrong misconception about the British Library, because you just think, British Library, okay, it's just going to be an enormous building full of books, right? Wrong. So you go in through the main entrance, and the first thing you're greeted by is this really grand hallway that's built over several floors, and you've got balconies on each of the floors so you can see access to all of them, divided by loads of different areas. And on the ground floor, there is the exhibition room, where they have everything from works, say, by Wordsworth, Betjeman, Jane Austen, all of these original writings by these well-known literary artists. It's absolutely amazing to think that although some of these artists, their life's journey ended years ago, that their works that they sat there writing out by hand have survived and are carrying on their journey.
They must be under glass, are they?
Oh, they are under glass.
Because even our breath will rot them. I'm not making any insinuations, but I was going to say,
you speak for yourself, but okay, fair enough.
But they do. That paper is one of the most, what's the word I'm looking for?
Delicate?
Yeah, well, yes. So none of us could turn the pages, I assume, can we?
You can't turn the pages, but I can't explain how it doesn't matter. You don't need to turn the pages, because so many of us know what's coming on the next page anyway for reading these great works. But it's the fact that you're looking at the original. And to me, it was just mind-blowing to think that that artist had been there with that pen in hand, writing out those words, and I was looking at their works. And they don't just have books there as well. Apart from books, they've also got maps as well, which I really didn't anticipate being there, as well as some lyrics, people's lyrics from the Beatles and other famous artists, and prints. And they've even got a bit of the Magna Carta displayed as well.
Do you pay to go in?
No, again, the British Library is free to go in to the exhibition.
St Paul's Cathedral, £7 to £7.16. V&A Museum is free. British Library is free. Phil, Dave, thank you very much.
Thanks,
indeed.
Phil.
And
brilliant.
The question?
What was it? Did you see
the horse chestnut salesman?
Oh, yes. Did you see the horse chestnut salesman?
I knew you were going to ask that.
1 minute to 8. We got...